Big Mama House, this is Davina.
Woohoo!
Speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers.
Hello and welcome to Watch With Mothers podcast number 4. Today, as it is the launch of Big Brother 10, we're going to be talking about Big Brother.
Hey.
Yeah, so welcome, Pete.
Hi, everyone. Hi.
Hi. I'm Swine Zed, as you probably gathered. So, Pete, you're a viewer of Big Brother, is that right?
I am a viewer of Big Brother.
And a fan, would you say?
I was a massive fan up until towards the beginning of the last one, actually. I just lost natural interest.
Really, that late?
Yeah, because I was enjoying them all up until that point, and it was just I tried, but it just sort of wore off me. I think I grew out of it. Mm. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. It wasn't working for me. It wasn't pulling my chains.
No, I know exactly what you mean. But having said that, it had soured a long time before that. But it was kind of nice to watch it in a gruesome car crash way, wasn't it? Just waiting for people to make twats of themselves.
Absolutely. I do also think that, and I don't want to sort of, you know, mention him too much, but I think Russell Brand not being involved in the last series didn't help either, because it was almost worth watching the previous two, because you knew that he was going to pipe up for Big Brother's Big Mouth, and just the fact he was there, it meant that you had to watch it so you knew what the fuck he was talking about.
Yeah, I think it's been two series now that he's been absent, and they've been using the likes of roly-poly Chris Moyles. I hear Davina McCall's taken over that job now.
And didn't Michael McIntyre get involved as well?
Yeah, he did one, then he slagged it off in the press, didn't he?
He did indeed. You can sort of see why, actually. But I actually quite like him. I didn't. I thought he was a fucking idiot. But I actually saw his stand-up over Christmas, and I rather enjoyed him. So I'm actually sort of quite with him at the moment. So I read what he had to say with interest, put it that way.
He's a half-decent stand-up, but it's all just observational stuff, isn't it? He's hardly groundbreaking, really.
No.
But anyway, he only did one show. I mean, the likes of Chris Moyles going on there, that's not good.
No, certainly not.
Are you a fan of Chris Moyles?
No, not at all. His mouth annoys me. It looks like an open orifice with teeth in it.
Hmm. Have you seen that film, Teeth?
I have seen that film, Teeth, actually. Yes, I quite liked it.
Did you mean a vagina or do you mean an anus?
I actually meant an anus, but now you've mentioned it, you know, you've mentioned Teeth. I just thought I'd mention that I have actually seen Teeth and I quite liked it.
Mm.
Vagina dentata, I believe, is the medical condition, and apparently it exists in certain realms.
Really?
Hmm. Apparently it's actually a known medical phenomena.
What, like bones poking out?
Bones in the mouth, yeah. I'm sorry, bones. Obviously there's bones in the mouth. No, actually teeth in the vagina.
Hmm. So, yeah, Chris Moyles has got vagina dentata of his vagina.
He does.
He did Big Brother's Big Mouth. But, yeah, I enjoyed Russell Brand. Who would have known all that time ago that he would have gone on to sour his reputation with Middle England in such a way?
Indeed.
Mm.
Indeed.
Yeah, we're meant to be talking. We've got some topics to talk about, as you know.
Yes, we do, yes.
So, let's start with that. Memorable contestants.
There's been quite a few, actually.
Yeah. Well, considering 15 go in every year and it's been 10 years, that's 150.
Shall we just get Jade out of the way before we carry on? Because I'm only mentioning her because she recently, you know, kicked the bucket. So
did she? I wasn't aware of that.
Really? Well, I'm sorry to say, mate. She's no longer with us. She died of cancer.
Oh dear.
Yeah. So let's move. Apart from her.
Mm.
I think I would probably go for Pete.
Peter?
No. Yes, Pete. Not Peaked. I wasn't in it. Pete. Yes.
Yeah.
Peter. You know, the chap with Tourette's.
Yeah, he was a good sort. You've got to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, he flirted with the ladies, but who doesn't?
Absolutely.
Well, not me. I'm, you know, kind of out of the old, out of the running. But, yeah, he flirted with the ladies. That was probably the only downside to his character, apart from the fact he kept going, fuck, wingers!
Wangers, that was his, wangers was his thing, wasn't it? Rather than, he didn't really say fuck too much.
No.
It was wankers mainly.
Well, he actually controlled his affliction really well. It was just in case anyone doesn't know. If you don't, you're an ignoramus. But he had Tourette's syndrome. But he had it really under control, didn't he?
I think he had quite a mild dose of it. Yes, possibly. I don't know how much control one can exert over such a thing. But yeah, he wasn't as bad as that chap from Scotland, John Davison, star of, if that's the right word, John's Not Mad, that was on last week. He's got it pretty badly.
Yeah, he had a severe case. But yeah, Pete seemed to be able to just channel it into the occasional whistle and
wankers. Yeah, wankers. Yeah. Yes, that was the size of it, really.
Yeah, he was actually a decent personality, and he managed to just shun the whole thing when he'd finished. And then there was Nikki, the same year as him. She was interesting. I saw her the other day in Brick Lane, of all places.
Yes, I think you mentioned that to me. It's a terrible exhibition, if I recall.
Yeah, Ben Westwood. Well, I don't know if I should diss it. We might get taken off their PR list. Does that happen? I've never been to one of these things before.
I don't know how much influence he's actually got, to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to piss his mum or dad off.
Yeah, mummy and daddy, in case anyone doesn't know, are Malcolm McLaren and Vivian Westwood. Yeah, he did this terrible... It's shit. It's just an exhibition in Brick Lane in a shitty little bar called Spawn, and it's regarding the offspring of rich and famous rock stars and such. And clearly he'd run out of ideas by Picture Six because he had fucking Carol Thatcher in there. I mean, it's not really a Peaches, Geldof, Lily Allen thing, is it? Carol Thatcher.
Oh, no, it's not. And it's not at all. Also, it's interesting that he decided to use his mother's name rather than his father's.
Yeah, well, she's more famous, isn't she?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, she's got a... Well, I don't know about that. She's certainly got a designer name. I mean, Westwood.
Oh, come off it.
She's sort of...
Vivian Westwood's way more famous than Malcolm McLaren. I mean, what's he done apart from the Sex Pistols?
He did Buffalo Girls.
Yeah, apart from that. That was a good song, actually.
He was on that TV programme last year with the late Mike Reed trying to become a mayor of some Scottish highland, and he stood up on stage in front of 500 people and told them all of them Christians, don't you know that your Lord was a sausage, which I thought was rather cool. And from that point of view, I think he should be, you know, much more famous than Vivian Westwood.
Oh, right, well, in that case...
He got arrested.
That's way more famous than kind of world-famous pirate boots and a whole look that his mum spawned, isn't
yeah,
it?
But he did actually. But he started he started off British punk, though, didn't he?
Yeah, that was when end of the '70s. Since then, Nish.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was there, and it was really weird. She was like the only famous person there. There was lots of very flamboyant transvestites, but she was the only real face you'd recognise. And this paparazzi man went up to her and said, can we take a picture of you by the car? And she goes, yeah, it's all right then. And she starts buttoning her top up. And he says to her, no, love, don't button your top up. It was just a weird little window into that world, you know.
Did she really have... She didn't really have that much to button up, though, did she, really?
I believe she's got implants, hasn't she?
Has she? Oh, I didn't know. She needs to get an implant on her bottoms because there was nothing there at all. I remember they were as flat as a witch's tit.
Oh, you've got to be careful there, because she had an eating disorder, didn't she?
I didn't know that.
Yes, she wasn't very well when she was younger, so that kind of explains her figure.
I didn't know that at all, and I obviously withdraw my criticism of her bottom.
You shouldn't really criticise bottoms as it is. I mean, if you started criticising mine, we'd be here all day. It's fucking enormous.
Oh, you've got a lovely ass. Oh,
thanks. Right, moving on. Other memorable housemates? I think I mentioned in the last recording, which, just so the listeners know, went tits up because the microphones went wonky. I mentioned Maxwell, and Maxwell, if anyone remembers, was a lad from Hackney who was off the hook.
He was really off the hook, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was just totally... I don't know, if I had to describe him in, say, three words, I'd say he was off the hook.
He was a fucking cunt. The thing about it was, though, is that I was more appalled by Charlie, I think.
Charlie, yeah, she was a... Well, I don't know, I found her, in a way, quite, I don't know, interesting. I won't say alluring, but interesting.
But she wouldn't shut the fuck up. She had no filter at all. She perpetually... if you tried to argue with her, there was no rationale to anything she said back to you, and I found that deeply frustrating.
Well, you know what that is, don't you?
Because she's stupid.
Idiousness.
She's stupid.
Well, yes. But it was that. But the other thing that sticks in my head about every time I think of her, I think of that little pout and sort of hip out move she used to do in front of the one way mirrors, thinking we couldn't fucking see her doing it. And then ruffling her hair up. God, she really got up my nose.
I know exactly what you mean. You should check out her appearance on The Weakest Link on YouTube. I'll put it on the website. It's brilliant. She's asked a question. It's just a simple. I think it's a capital city type question. And as she tries to think through the answer, which she clearly never would have known and won't ever know because she won't be able to remember it, you can see her sort of have an internal argument with herself about, you know, which bit of her brain does what. I'll find it and I'll send it on because it's absolutely amazing.
She also had her tit implants just below her clavicles, which is never a good look.
Did she?
Yeah, they were just below her clavicles. They weren't even in the right place.
Oh, blimey. Poor girl. Look,
awful.
We shouldn't really dwell on implants and arses.
Well, we can dwell on implants because that's the thing you choose. You see, you're right about the arses. I'll accept that because that's what God's given you, an arse. Mm. You can't really do much with it, but you can choose to have implants. So I think if you've got implants and they look ridiculous, you're up for some sort of criticism. Do you remember that that porn star that used to be on it a couple of seasons ago?
Oh, with the absolutely enormous hooters.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah, but see, this is kind of proving the opposite of your point, because...
Which is?
It's born out of insecurity, and you can't really have a go at someone for being so insecure that they, well, not mutilate themselves, but, you know, enhance themselves in the wrong direction. I think it's a bit off, really. You know, it's like someone having a nose job internally.
You could argue that a tit implant isn't about insecurity, though. You could argue it's about something completely different.
Well, you could, but you'd be wrong.
I might be.
Mm. Right, who else? Memorable housemates. Rex.
Rex, yeah. Yeah, Rex. Good God.
Now,
yes.
There's someone you can lay into without any worry. Just completely lay into any aspect of his personality because he was a complete and utter arsehole.
He really was a Burke, wasn't he? He was very big. I remember that much about him.
Big? He was a little tiny fella, wasn't he?
No, Rex was the tall one.
No, Rex was the one with the ginger hair who had kind of a weird... how to describe it? I think Charlie Brooker said it looked like he had a croissant on his head. It was a weird kind of Hoxton fin, but rounded into a spacecraft sort of shape.
Yeah, I'm sure he was quite tall.
Well, whether he was tall or not, he was an arsehole.
Maybe his arsehole personality was exploding quite literally out of his head.
Yeah, he just appeared to be big because his idiocy was so massive.
He was a right fucking tool. There's been quite a few tools, actually. Do you remember Helen?
Helen?
That Welsh one.
Oh, yeah, that was in the second series, I think.
She was dreadful.
Yeah, and everyone took her to... She was kind of like a low-rent jade. Everyone took her to their heart, and I've no idea why.
I didn't at all. I thought she was awful. And there's... do you remember that Grace one? Get Grace out, that one. Grace What's-Her-Face.
Yeah, she was an arsehole.
Grace something Adams. She was a prat and a half, wasn't she? She was awful people we've had on there, actually.
Yeah.
But they've been a right shower of shit. There hasn't been many people on there at all that have... Ziggy, for fuck's sakes. Remember him?
Do you know what?
He was difficult. All right, go on. I think I know what you're going to say, but carry on.
I don't know what was going on with Ziggy, but I kind of like the guy.
He was difficult because he managed to fluctuate between being a complete and utter boob stick to being sometimes half decent.
He at least had a brain in his head. You could tell he had a brain. Would you say?
Yes, I suppose so.
He had a nice dog as well, and his dog liked him, which means he must have something within him that's likeable.
You're right about the dog. I like the dog. Actually, in fact, the dog so far has been my favourite contestant.
I would prefer Big Brother if it only contained dogs.
That would be fantastic.
All different kinds of breeds.
Wasn't he involved as well with Chantel, with the who had a nice arse, actually, I have to say, but she wasn't a very happy bunny either. Wasn't her mother murdered when she was young?
You need to control yourself, son. You're talking about arses constantly.
That's where I have to start from. It's my starting point in any part of life is the arse, and I work my way up or down.
Well, I don't know about her mother.
Yeah, her mother was murdered when she was two.
Well, you wouldn't wish that on anyone, would you?
I wasn't. I think it's terrible.
No, I wasn't saying you were, but... Yeah, it's not a great reason for going into a household where you film 24 hours a day, really.
not a good start.
No.
Then, of course, there was, you know, going right back, there was Nasty Nick. Remember him?
Yeah, he was fun.
He was. Yeah, and, you know, in comparison to what Nasty Nick got up to people like Maxwell, I mean, it's been pitching the lowest common denominator, really, yeah, since it started. Because if you remember rightly, that Scouse builder, whose name I've forgotten again, gave all of his money away to some girl with Down syndrome, which was a very heartwarming gesture, I thought.
It was a valiant thing, and it also showed a lot of common sense, because then the public thought, oh, he's all right, that bloke. So he ended up on daytime TV with a fat salary and also recorded an absolutely terrible Christmas single.
He did.
So he obviously made a fair bit of money out of it, but also gave... How much was it? 100,000?
No, it was a million, wasn't it?
Was it? It might have been in the first series, I can't remember, but, you know... He covered all bases, didn't he? He saved a girl. Well, he didn't save her, but he helped out of trust or whatever. And he made a tidy packet for himself.
But also...
Yeah?
Also, you could actually name quite a few of them that have actually gone on to being on TV, because he ended up doing that sort of DIY slot on daytime television.
Mm.
Then, of course, there was Kate Lawler. She ended up presenting something, didn't she?
She did. There was also Alison, a rotund black girl. Do you remember her? She was. She ended up on, yes, This Morning every day.
She did. There was also Brian Dowling, who ended up on Kids TV.
So, yeah, you can see why you get all these cretins going in thinking, this is my gateway to fame. But what they don't realise is the ratio is there's been about 10 people who've come out with a career in the media. Are you making a cigarette? I can hear that.
Right, just a little one.
Dirty habit. But yeah, about 10 out of 150 is not a great ratio of entrance to fame, is it?
No, but all the ones that have wound up on TV have actually generally been quite nice.
Yeah, I suppose so.
That's quite an interesting little bit of, you know, information. I mean, arguably aside from the racist Jade, or was she? You know, I'm sorry to bring her up again, but you have to, really, when discussing Big Brother. It's impossible not to.
It's celebrity Big Brother, but the rules are the same. And essentially, when you look back at the footage, most people realise this now, but Jade was, in fact, the least racist in that whole... Well, out of the three of them who were being racist, and the other two kind of just slunk back into the shadows.
The one that actually really won for the racist crown of the year is that Danielle Lloyd woman.
Yeah, but I don't know.
She was appalling. Her behaviour was absolutely disgraceful.
She said the stuff that I would say is actually the most blinkered and racist, whereas Jade Jade was just using words that popped into her head. She was using horrible stereotypes, whereas Danielle Lloyd was saying shit about Indians eating with their fingers and stuff, and... I don't know, it was just the most objectionable stuff she was saying. But, I mean, karma's kind of caught up with her. She's losing a leg, apparently.
She's going to lose it, is she?
Well, I don't know, I just saw pictures of her with her legs cut up, and it was in the tabloids, so maybe she's not. Maybe it was just sensationalism, but I don't know.
There's a bit more to that story, and I actually read in the tabloids that that she fell backwards onto a glass table, that there was some sort of implication that she was beaten up when that didn't quite necessarily happen.
She was pushed into the table, I believe.
She was pushed into the table, yes. But I also was under the impression she started it. But let's not talk about that. It's unpleasant, and she doesn't really need any more of a spotlight on her. She's good at doing that herself, as it is.
Yeah, she's got enough turds prattling on about her, so we might as well stop.
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy signs of Watch with Mum. Here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep, or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch with Mothers.
Well, we can move on to how we could make it better, I suppose. Or, yeah, no, let's talk about that. How could we make Big Brother better?
Well, as I sort of suggested last time round, exchanging a contestant for a silverback gorilla would be interesting.
It would be interesting, it would be savage. I mean, whenever you say, how could we improve Big Brother, people inevitably say, let's kill people.
Yeah, well, that'd just be ridiculous. But how about if we sedated the silverback gorilla a little bit?
Oh, right, so he's just sort of a floppy gorilla.
Well, no, insofar as he'd mean no harm.
Right, so you just pacify the gorilla.
Yeah, they could just feed him bananas and pick ticks out of his arse and just keep him generally comfortable and, you know, look after him a bit, really, because he wouldn't be... he wouldn't be up for saying much in the diary room, I don't think.
Right, sorry, just to explain, a few technical problems there, but we're back. Are you back?
Yes, I am. I'm back, thanks.
Good. So we were talking about wanking gorillas.
We were. We were talking about wanking off gorillas and a task involving keeping the gorilla rock hard for 24 hours so all the housemates would get a chance to have a go on the gorilla. But I think it's only fair to say that if the gorilla blows his beans, then that's off. So they have to go, they lose their luxury food budget.
Yeah, but the fun would be in it takes absolutely ages and ages for the gorilla to shoot his beans. So they will basically pump it with Viagra.
But wouldn't it be more fun if the gorilla... Because I don't know how easy it is to toss a gorilla off, but I should imagine, they haven't got the same sort of coping mechanisms as you and I would do, for example, to prevent ourselves from, losing it. A gorilla wouldn't have that... wouldn't necessarily be able to have that sort of, a sense of what to do to prevent himself from blasting off. So...
You mean when you're close to the edge, you start thinking about, say, Margaret Thatcher?
Yes. Actually, not so her. She gives me the horn. It's thinking about, the manual of a 1974 Ford Escort or something like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But maybe that would... maybe monkeys do... Well, maybe apes do have that.
Yeah, that's the... This is the other thing that we should be discussing, is using the Big Brother housemates... As guinea pigs for experiments.
No, well, now you're crossing a moralistic line, aren't you? But I'm all for that, personally.
How about HRT drug trials, so they all get progressively hairy, and they actually end up, by the end of it, in the same state as the gorilla?
They'll all become the same sex.
Yeah, all become... Oh, that'd be even stranger.
All the men will become women, and all the women will become men, and they won't be able to keep their hands off each other. It'll be weird.
Or how about exchanging all of the alcohol for LSD?
That would be absolutely disastrous. But good. It would make good TV. And that's what we like at Watching Mothers. We like good TV in inverted commas. It's not easy to say that.
It isn't easy to say that, especially when you're smoking
cigarettes. In inverted commas. I thought we should put Alan Sugar in there. Did I mention that? I haven't mentioned that, I don't think.
You haven't mentioned that, no. You alluded to Alan earlier, but I don't think you've actually finished the point off. Go on, that's an interesting idea.
I think just put Alan Sugar in there, basically. You have a crossover with BBC, because everyone needs to make money, so why not morph two successful formats? Have Alan Sugar in there. I can just imagine him sitting on a beanbag and just telling people they're fired. Just, with absolutely no authority whatsoever. Just, you haven't done the washing up. You're fired.
but we've had contestants like that in the past that have been very judgmental and haven't done anything. But haven't been Sir Alan.
Yeah, not owners of Amstrad.
No, not owners of Amcord. What a fantastic stuff they... in fact, I'm using an Amstrad microphone now. It fucking well sounds like it, I should imagine, when I hear it being played back.
That's weird, because I'm speaking to you now over an email phone.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, presumably, I must be doing the same thing. I don't know how this technology actually happened. I have to point out here that because of my age, I don't understand anything. And Swines had very kindly sort of talked me through this and gave me things to click on, like a monkey. Yeah. And it all just seemed to work.
It's crazy, isn't it? Let's move on.
Cool.
Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. No. Yes. Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. Yes, I will watch with mothers.
Okay, next topic up for discussion. I think we were going to talk about... In fact, we were going to make predictions like Mystic Meg. And we were going to say, what kind of characters are those crazy guys at Channel 4 going to put in the house?
Somebody disabled. There'll be some sort of disabled person, not mentally disabled, but not after the Susan Boyle debacle we're enjoying at the moment, or not enjoying as the case may be.
You've got to be careful with you. She's not technically disabled, is she? She's learning difficulties, I think, is what you would say. Or even differently abled. I'm not sure what you say these days.
Well, you have to be very careful, don't you? But you see my point.
I think it'll be a physical, whatever the word is. There'll be someone who's blind or in a wheelchair or something.
Well, so what have we had so far? We've had obviously Makey. He was blind.
Yeah, Tangerine Face. We've had him. We've had the little fella. What's his name?
Remembering Mikey getting hit by that tangerine again.
Yeah, that was a good moment. That was a classic Big Brother moment. do you want to explain it?
I'm not quite sure what happened, but basically there was some sort of activity going on with the house meat, and someone threw a bit of fruit, and it hit Mikey in the head. And because Mikey quite literally didn't see it coming, his startled reaction caused some amusement.
Yeah, his head snapped back. But the thing is, if you're about to instigate a food fight, it's not really PC to say, "Hey, let's have a food fight," but try not to aim for the blind bloke.
No, it was a genuine mistake on the part of the house mute. No one actually meant to harm him. So yeah, the short bloke, wasn't he in Celebrity Big Brother?
Yeah, he was Mini Me, wasn't he?
That's right. Yeah, it was Mini Me.
So we've had him. I think he's technically a dwarf, if we're allowed. I think we're allowed to say that.
I think that's okay. I'm not quite sure what they preferred to say. Do you know that dwarves got the highest rate of suicides amongst people?
Really? That reminds me of David Rappaport. You remember him?
Yeah, David Rappaport. He topped himself, didn't he?
I loved him when I was a child. Not in that way.
Me too. He did this really great scene in a segment in Tiz Was, which was a kids' program in the 70s. And instead of Blue Peter, it was called Green Nigel. And he came up on this little stage and managed to make some cardboard boxes out of smashed up crockery.
That doesn't make any sense.
You know, they were using sticky back plastic and cardboard boxes to make something.
Yeah.
Well, he sort of turned it on his head by, you know, having something that was already made and then smashing it up to make cardboard boxes and sticky back plastic.
Ah, that sounds quite clever for kids' TV.
They all had to whistle the theme tune for it as well. It was good stuff.
He was he turned into a bit of a mad boozer and druggie, didn't he, David Rappaport?
He did. He was in Time Bandits, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's where I kind of, that's how I grew up with him. I loved that film when I was little.
I still quite like it now.
He was little as well.
Who?
David Rappaport.
Yeah, he was tiny. Bless him.
Yeah, so we've had him. We've had a blind fella. We've had someone with Tourette's. So yeah, there's bound to be someone with something.
We've had weird twins.
They weren't differently abled though. They were just fucking annoying.
Yeah, but they were weird. They could communicate and stuff, couldn't they?
Well, as much as twins can, yeah. Well, they have an innate understanding of one another.
They were horrific, those two, weren't they?
They were kind of...
Samander.
They were primed for big things after Big Brother, but it never happened, did it?
Yeah, I think they're primed for White House.
Exactly, yeah, some dirty porn shoot. I don't know, maybe it'll go top rung, maybe it'll go up to club international level, but still, it's still flashing your bits.
Yeah, still boils down to the same thing. I'm sure there's been somebody else.
I was thinking, getting away from the disability thing, I was thinking they might... What with the current climate, put a banker or a BNP minister, a BNP supporter in there. Did you just belch?
It was more of a burr. It didn't really sort of finish off. I think it might do shortly, but at the moment it wasn't really worth discussing.
All right, I forgive you.
It's more of a tummy rumble. Go on, please.
BNP,
possibly
banker,
possibly. There'll definitely be an ethnic minority in there.
Well, usually half of them are from an ethnic minority.
So that's a guaranteed then?
Yeah, well, of course there is. There's always, you know, they've got to do a cross-section of society, haven't they? So, yeah, there'll be one or two ethnic minorities. But, actually, there was one year, it's quite interesting, there was a complete division between the White housemates and the ethnic minority housemates. Do you remember that?
It was I do, actually.
Mikosi was in it. And fair enough, she was being quite divisive, and her friends were, she was friends with the Turkish transvestite and the blank-faced mixed-race girl. But the white people reacted by just sort of making their own little colony in the garden, as far as I remember.
Yes, that did happen. That was quite that's quite a disturbing one. It sort of turned into a bit of the Lord of the Flies one, didn't it, that one?
Yeah, with Maxwell as Simon. Yeah. Ralph. Which one was the bad one? Jack?
No. Well, it wasn't Jack, was it? That's not the right name.
I don't know. The one with the curly hair in the film, anyway.
Yeah, he was an arsehole, him. What the fuck was his name?
What, Maxwell?
No, there's another one as well in that year. But no, Maxwell, he takes prizes for being a fucking tool. He really does.
Yeah, him and his Mrs. Saskia.
Yeah, fucking hell, yeah. Saskia, God almighty, I've forgotten all about her. But how about someone...
I think we'll have a racist in there. I think we'll have a BNP member.
How about some sort of fetishist going in there?
What kind of fetishist? There's all kinds of fetishists. Do you mean scats, or do you mean leather or latex, or
just someone with a, I don't know, water sport fetishist? Someone who likes to hang around in the Big Brother toilet, somebody who's got some sort of sexual deviation that makes it very uncomfortable for the other housemates to sleep soundly.
So they're sort of one of them thinks the toilet is unengaged, opens the door, and they're sort of sat there masturbating while licking the toilet rim.
Something like that, or even actually being in the toilet when someone goes in there for a poo or something, and then saying, "Oh, sorry, I was just cleaning it," and they're actually sort of their mouths wide open. And actually, that happened to me in a fetish club a few years ago, and I went for a tinkle.
Like complaining about, I don't know. It's going to happen, isn't it? It's obviously going to happen.
What? In a fetish club?
Well, you pay your money at the door of a fetish club; it's bound to happen.
Well, I mean, yes, but I wasn't expecting someone to be in the toilet actually. By the side of the urinal, lying down, and asked me to do a tinkle on him. Yeah. And I said to him, I can't go because, you know, I'm getting stage fright. And he was asking me very nicely to piss all over his face. So I said, look, mate, you're gonna have to close your eyes or something. So you're not looking at me. So he did. He closed his eyes, and I pissed all over his face.
Hmm. Right, so there'll be a scat man, there'll be a BNP member, there'll be someone who is disabled, and there will probably also be, I feel, someone who's covered in tattoos, like that man who lives on an island.
Covered in tattoos? Yeah, I know that chap. He's a sort of lizard man.
Yeah, or salamander or something he calls himself.
Yeah, I know the fellow. It's heavily tattooed and or pierced.
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea, because that's because a lot of the kids are doing it these days, aren't they, doing that sort of thing?
Apparently so. Not that I step foot out of the house and find out about that sort of thing, but no, apparently they are.
Yeah, I'm rather fascinated by it all, I have to say, and the thing that annoys me is there's a lot of kids walking around with the I'll have that one tattoos. Mm. They haven't actually thought about what they want. They've just gone, I'm going to have a tattoo, and they've just got a generic tattoo. Like there's the big craze a few years ago is those huge, great sort of George Clooney Dusk Till Dawn type thick Celtic bar things that go swirling all over the arm, and you know there's loads of people with those, and they look bloody awful. Bloody awful.
It's every person's right to brand themselves however they want, you know.
Oh, no, I agree with you totally. My point is that it's an I'll have that one tattoo rather than it's not there because there's any sort of thought or process behind it or any sort of it's just you know, I'll have that on me for I don't know why really, but here it is.
To be honest with you, I don't understand it at all, so I'm probably not best qualified to talk about it. I mean, if I wanted something on my face or my arm or my boobies, I'd just use a felt tip.
Yeah, it comes off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Comes off. Having said that, I do subscribe to them a little bit, and I spend a good long time sort of indulging myself. Anyway, these are the sorts of conversations they could be having with a tattooed person on Big Brother, rather than me going about it because I'm not in the house, and they could be discussing this.
Very
with
good
the
point.
Tattooed and pierced person. So let's leave that one. I think it's probably best if they do that.
Let's leave that for them to discuss in the house tomorrow when a tattooed person inevitably goes in there with a BNP member, someone who's disabled, and a scat fetishist. Right, let's move on.
Cool.
Okay, just to finish off, I think we've covered all bases, so let's talk about clearly the format. Oh, I'm gonna fucking start that again. That was shit. Right, let's
start again. No, keep going.
Okay, soldier on. Okay. So yeah, we've talked about the ins and outs. Let's talk about what are we talking about?
I talk about John Peel. So I feel like doing my John Peel impression. So this is the new one from the Boo Radleys. Let's talk about where is Big Brother going? Okay. Or rather, what's it done for us?
Okay, you do realise I'm going to edit out your John Peel impression, but where is Big Brother, what's it done for us? Where is Big Brother done for us? It's a good question.
Where is Big Brother done for us? It's a very complicated question as well.
It is. I'll tell you what Big Brother's done for us. Nish.
Nish, yes. Well, it's spawned the celebrity Z list, hasn't it? It's done that.
I'm not sure they're even Z list, because they're Z list with a kind of ticker on it, like a timer saying you are Z list for this long, and then you will no longer even be Z list. Because there are so many people who went in Big Brother who now, if you saw them in the street, you wouldn't even get a flicker of recognition, even if you'd watched them, you know, day on day.
It could. What about a Mission Impossible Z-list, insofar as this Z-list celebrity will explode in the next 30 days or something?
Exactly, but it doesn't explode, does it? It just sort of dribbles.
Okay, yeah, well, yes. A candle Z-lister. It just gently burns away, leaving a nasty smell.
A candle made of earwax.
A candle, that's even better. A candle made of Z-celebrity earwax.
Yeah, so that, it's given us those. It's given us those sort of... God, again.
It was the second half of the one that I did earlier, which wasn't fully formed, and that one was a bit more. Felt better. Right. I feel better now, thanks.
Yes. Not that I asked, but. Yeah, I suppose it's given us that. It's given us this weird celebrity culture. There was a documentary about it, actually, on TV the other day, sponsored by Endemol, but presented by Grace Dent, which was a weird juxtaposition, because I think Grace Dent is a decent writer, but I think Endemol are evil. And in that, they were saying it's changed the nature of fame. I don't think it has. I think it's progressed. It's kind of accelerated the Andy Warhol thing of 15 minutes of fame, and it's just made it completely inconsequential. Fame isn't fame anymore, is it?
Actually, you have reminded me of a contestant that's managed to sort of sidestep all of this. You know. Apart from Russell Brand, who's obviously a bit of a household name these days, and some of the ones that got on TV, Aisling seems to be managing to somehow ride on some sort of other big post-Big Brother... I can't even fucking talk. Some sort of post-Big Brother thing that no one else has managed to sort of quite acquiesce.
Acquire, you mean?
Yeah, that was... Isn't acquiesce...
No,
acquire?
Acquiesce means to kind of give in gently.
All right, well, I've been acquiesce. Yes, OK, fair
enough.
No,
it's not a criticism, you know. I misused words all the tomb.
But let's face it, that was a biggie, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, but, you know, I corrected you, so at least one of us looks slightly clever.
Yes, you're right, I'll accept that. I do apologise for my misuse of the English language there.
Don't worry about it. But, you know, if you want to play with the big boys, read a dictionary.
I did try.
Well, that's all right.
I couldn't understand a fucking word of it.
But Aisling, she is... Yeah, I know what you mean. She's kind of... she was always a smart cookie, despite the vocabulary and the way she kind of posed as a ghetto princess or what have you.
Yeah, what was that all about, the ghetto princess
thing?
Well,
clearly she went to school and she got in with a group... Well, I'm completely presuming it. I don't know the girl from Adam, but... Well, I do, actually. I've seen her on TV every day for a period, but... She clearly, you know, was young, she was probably in her early 20s when we were all allowed to be a complete arsehole, and she talked like a ghetto princess, but clearly, on coming out, she's met some TV critics, been to a few posh dinner parties, and kind of realised that the game she was trying to play isn't worth playing, and that she's better off doing her own thing, and fair play to her.
But it's quite ironical, sir, that she appears on Charlie Brooker's screen wipe as well, after... Charlie's obviously talks about Big Brother quite a lot.
Oh, first name terms, is it? Charlie, is it?
I didn't mean to do that, actually. As I said it and didn't finish off with the Brooker part, I realised I'd actually dropped myself right in the shit again. That's actually two in the last 2 minutes.
No, I don't like talking about Mr. Brooker.
No, but she appears on his TV show.
She does. Clearly, they have struck up some kind of friendship. We're not at liberty to discuss what kind of friendship, but, you know, obviously they're pals, and she's mixing in those circles. Grace Dent, obviously, on her documentary for Endemol the other day, she made a point of saying, my favourite ever housemate was Ashleen, and that's probably because they've met at the same parties and meetings.
Yeah, because she didn't really seem to sort of, like my bum cakes, really. She didn't really sort of do it for me, you know? She was just another contestant, but somehow, that's what I mean, somehow she's managed to, and this is when I incorrectly used the word acquiesce, somehow she's managed to sort of move into a different zone of celebrity.
Yeah, but she, to be fair to her, she's not really going out and chasing the dollar, is she? She's not appearing on This Morning, and she's not getting photo shoots in Next, so she's not really doing anything wrong. The bigger question is, I don't know. I mean, you've got a critic or two who... Oh, I don't know, I shouldn't really criticise other critics because I'm kind of lower league Z-list critic myself. But no, I'll carry on, fuck it. Basically, you've got critics kind of flirting with the other side of the coin, haven't you? It's almost like going to a zoo, laughing at the monkeys, and then taking a monkey home with you and treating it like your monkey baby. Does that make sense?
Possibly would be better to, yeah, sort of, but it'd be more like going to a zoo, looking at the monkeys, and then realising that you're actually stood next to one, looking at nothing.
But maybe they realise that the monkeys actually aren't so bad and we shouldn't really chuckle at them. But if that's true, then why carry on writing columns about, how much you hate modern TV?
Well, I think probably what does happen is that these people suddenly find themselves at the Groucho Club a bit more than they would be going to in the first place, and actually confronting some of these people they've been slagging off and realising that to actually maintain their social lifestyle, i.e. remaining members of the Groucho Club, they've got to turn it down a little bit, you know, and then sort of choose people that they're not going to bump into at the Groucho Club.
Actually, yeah, it opens up a wider topic, doesn't it? Just the broadsheet's flirtation with reality TV, because it happens a hell of a lot now, and it was always bound to, but you got the likes of fucking Jay Rayner, he's just a pompous gargoyle, and he turned up on Eating with the Enemy, is that what it was called?
Well, he's a food critic, isn't he, Jay Rayner?
Yeah, and he wants to promote himself clearly as the go-to man if you're talking about food, and he's always on TV in Heston Blumenthal's outfits, you know, licking Heston's arse, and I find the man abominable. And I think if you're a critic, does it really pay to go on TV and put yourself up for criticism?
To be perfectly honest with you, I think he's actually turned out quite good, bearing in mind he's Claire Rayner's son.
Yeah, but I prefer Claire Rayner to him.
Do you, darling? Do you really?
Do you know what?
Do you really prefer?
I kind of have a thing for Agony Aunts. You know that woman off This Morning?
Oh, God, she's awful.
She's all right.
You mean that blob with the blonde hair?
Oi, don't call her a blob. You're going back to criticising people's arses again.
I didn't. I called her a blob. Yeah, but I haven't seen her. I didn't criticise her arse, but I should imagine it's quite vast.
Oh, I'll leave off. She's all right. I like Agony Aunts. I don't know. I prefer them to, I don't know, astrologers and people like that.
Mariella Fostrup's an Agony Aunt now. How the fuck did that happen?
I don't know, but she's all right as well. Quite like her.
No, she's quite good at it, but Pamela Stevenson's one, because she's a psychologist, but Mariella Fostrup went from presenting the small picture show, wasn't it called that?
I don't know, yeah, she got...
The Little Picture Show or something, and then she's now dishing out advice in the back of the Guardian.
She's quite funny, though.
I quite like her.
It's The Observer, I think.
I have to say. Is it The Observer?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is The Observer.
But,
that's right, yeah.
But all I'm saying is you get critics who are really, really, what's the word, scabrous? Really,
yes.
Nasty about stuff that's on TV. And then they appear on TV and they know how it works. They're going to get cut to ribbons, so why do they do it? It must be pure vanity. I mean, in the case of Charlie Brooker, he makes some good stuff like Screen Wipe and all that. But Jay Rayner and fucking hell, what's her name? I've mentioned her before. Spicer, Kate Spicer.
Oh, she's vicious. I mean, vicious.
She's really nasty in the broadsheets, and then she appears on TV, and she's just one of the most awful people you're ever going to see.
I think what it is that these people, you know, these The word celebrity now sort of cuts a massive swathe across all. If you could be a journalist and become a celebrity, it cuts such a massive swathe in a way it never used to. I mean, you know, in the back of the Rat Pack, for example, there'd be a huge, great barrier between them and someone like Sir David Frost, say.
Yeah.
I'm only mentioning him because of how he managed to sort of propel himself into a new dimension. After the interview with Nixon,
yeah.
which accidentally sent him into a bit of a hero, but it's a very different world now.
Yeah, it is, especially considering, as you say, the world of entertainment now encompasses so many things, including criticism. You'll get critics who won't criticise what they should be criticising because they're pals with the person they're meant to be criticising, and they're appearing on their chat show. So, and they're twittering with them all day long. So you know they can hardly go and shit on them behind their back. I don't know. Yeah, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. Mothers.